Merry Christmas, everyone. Yeah, hey, really appreciate you coming out this Christmas morning. And for those who are watching online, Merry Christmas to you all as well. And can you believe it? Here in Southern Florida, 35 degrees this morning. It even feels like Christmas.
You know how to work this.
So, braving the cold and coming out. And, of course, those up north are laughing at us and saying, oh, come on, that's not cold.
Yeah.
All right. But we plan to have a different church service than what we normally have. But it's going to be good. It's going to be fun. And it's been fun getting people participating as well. And involved, and that is really exciting. So, this morning, without any further delay, let's begin by singing Joy to the World. Hey, we've really got something to be excited about.
Yes, amen.
Yes, the Lord has come. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their song employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders and wonders of his love. Good singing. Yes. You may be seated. Now, to help us get excited about this day and what's happening,
I'll go that way. I don't want to mess them up.
All right.
So we're here, and the ladies are beside us.
I'm down here. You go that way.
Hi. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord,
praise his holy name. He's so good and he's so kind, every day the same. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise his holy name. He's so good and he's so kind, every day the same.
On this special day, with Jesus on our mind, telling the good news to everyone we find, and knowing where he leads, to every soul forlorn, spreading out the word of God that Jesus Christ is born. Oh,
praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise his holy name. He's so good and he's so kind, every day the same. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise his holy name. He's so good and he's so kind, every day the same.
God worked a marvelous plan. He gave a gift to man. We're going to proclaim that Jesus is his name. And at this Christmas all can know him as their king, who brought eternal life to man. And that is why we sing
all together.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise his holy name. He's so good and he's so kind, every day the same. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise his holy name. He's so good and he's so kind, every day the same.
And you can know him too. Just open up your heart, invite him in to stay as Lord and King today. He'll be your faithful guide and take you by the hand and show you all the wondrous things for you he has so planned.
Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise his holy name. He's so good and he's so kind, every day the same. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise his holy name. He's so good and he's so kind, every day the same.
Yeah. All warmed up. Good. All right. Oh, yeah, microphone. Do you need another microphone?
Come on.
Is there a secondary? Okay. Go ahead.
I'm so excited. Santa's coming.
Glasses on. Grow up, Levi. Don't get so hung up on Santa Claus at Christmas.
But, Dad, Santa only comes but once a year.
The Bible says in Matthew 1:23 that God is with us all year long. Emmanuel, God is with us.
Santa fills his stockings with goodies, Dad.
Well, the Bible says in Philippians 4:19 that Jesus supplies all our needs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Santa let me sit on his lap.
Isaiah 40:11 says that Jesus lets us rest in his arms.
Amen.
Santa always asked what my name was and what I wanted for Christmas.
Well, the Bible says in Matthew 10:30 that Jesus knows your name. He even knows how many hairs are on your head, and he will supply all your needs.
When Santa laughs, his belly shakes like a big full of jelly.
Well, in Deuteronomy 5:10, it says that Jesus has a heart full of love.
Santa says, you better not cry.
Well, Psalms 55:22 says that cast all your cares on me and I will care for you.
Santa gives gifts under the tree, Dad.
Well, Deuteronomy 21:23 says, think about it, Levi. Jesus became our gift, and he died on a tree.
But it seems like you're right. There's no comparison. Jesus is way better than Santa.
Now you're thinking straight. It's all about time you remember who Christmas is all about. We need to put Christ back into Christmas. Jesus is and always will be the reason for the season.
done. Yes, thinking straight. Now we have another congregational song. And in a city, in a manger. Now, this you will recognize the tune. So let's stand together. We've changed the words, but hey, you'll recognize the tune. Let's all sing together and rejoice in our Lord. In a city, in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, in the sky there's a star brightly shining. Shepherds quaking, angels saying, have peace and not fear. Your Messiah, the Savior, is here. Emmanuel, Jesus has come to home fellowship. Tell the world, Jesus the Savior is here. In our houses, with our families, great joy we now share as we celebrate Christmas on earth. Let us think now why this great joy our Savior has come. Will you join in our praises and sing? Emmanuel, Jesus has come to home fellowship. Tell the world, Jesus, Savior is here. Emmanuel, Jesus has come to home fellowship. Tell the world, Jesus our Savior is here. Jesus our Savior is here. Well sung. God bless you. Be seated.
Why do we celebrate Jesus' birthday so differently from other birthdays? When it's time to honor historical figures who have a day set aside for them, we don't think about them as babies. We don't have pictures of cute little Abraham Lincoln in his log cabin in Kentucky. No, we remember him for his contributions as an adult. For Jesus, though, it is proper that we celebrate him as a child. Think about it. When he was born, shepherds came to honor him. Later, wise men brought him gifts. These people had no idea what Jesus would eventually accomplish. But they were right in doing what they did because Jesus' birth was the most remarkable event in human history. Jesus as a baby was remarkable because he was God in human form. He was the creator of the universe visiting the planet. Never shrink from celebrating this baby at Christmas. Marvel at his incarnation and stand in awe of this baby who had created his worshipers. Then step back and wonder, for the story gets even better. This divine baby grew into a perfect man who willingly died for your sins and for mine. Celebrate the baby, but trust the Savior. That's how to make Christmas complete. A wise man today will bow not only at the manger, but also at the cross.
Jesus gone away is the old man, here to stay is the new man, singing a song as we go along, walking in the kingdom of the Lord. Jesus calls by His Spirit, if you listen, you can hear it. What a beautiful day, we're happy to say, walking in the kingdom of the Lord. Gone away is the old man, here to stay is the new man. Singing a song as we go along, walking in the kingdom of the Lord. In His field, you can be His witness, showing light so everyone can see. They'll say, are you happy? We'll say, surely. And you can be if you will follow me. Gone away is the old man, here to stay is the new man. Singing a song as we go along, walking in the kingdom of the Lord. Gone away is the old man, here to stay is the new man. Singing a song as we go along, walking in the kingdom of the Lord. Walking in the kingdom of the Lord. Walking in the kingdom of the Lord. Yeah! Okay. You know, I just love Christmas. I really do. I love all the Christmas decorations. I love all the lights. I love all the presents. I love shopping. He doesn't. But what I love most about Christmas is the Christmas story. You know, just imagine. There is Mary, probably just like the picture shows us, riding side saddle on this donkey for 80 miles.
Excuse me.
What?
Hey, I really appreciate your excitement about Christmas, but I don't think you got it quite right there. I mean, Mary in her condition, about to deliver, and riding on a donkey for 80 miles? No. If the donkey was involved, he was pulling a wagon. I don't believe that Mary was riding on a donkey.
Minor point. Let me carry on. So anyhow, she's on this wagon, possibly being pulled by a donkey, and she's going this 80 miles, and can you imagine? When they finally get to where they're going, at the inn, there's no room. And they have to go to a barn there.
No barn.
What?
No. In that area, they didn't have timber. Not a barn like what we picture barns with a wooden structure. They didn't have the timber there. Back then, what they used to house their animals was caves. So, hey, yeah, Jesus was actually born in a cave, and put in a manger, which this manger, again, not like what we picture, it was a feeding trough that was chiseled out of the rock. So he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and put in a feeding trough.
Okay.
So they go those 80 miles to go to a cave. Hey, but there were shepherds, weren't there?
Yes, there were shepherds.
Got that right. And they were in the fields, right?
They were in the field.
And it was night.
It was night.
Yay!
Okay, so while they were in the field, suddenly the Bethlehem star appeared unto them.
No star.
No star. Everybody knows there was a star. What lit up the sky?
The Bible says the glory of the Lord shone round about them. It was the glory of God announcing that the Messiah is born. And even the angels were excited about this. It was the glory of God that lit up the sky, not the Bethlehem star.
Okay, so these shepherds got to the manger, cave, whatever it is, right? They did.
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we have these kings coming, and they are traveling from the east, and they're going to... What now?
They weren't kings.
We all sing the song. We three kings of Orient are.
Yeah, I know that song too, but not really all that accurate. Because they were the Magi, which means they were wise men. They were the highly educated. They were the elite. From the east, they were very wealthy. They were the aristocratic people of the day. And, yeah, they weren't kings.
Okay, so these wise men, they were traveling from the east.
They were traveling from the east.
Okay. And they... these three were coming along from the east and...
Three?
Yes. We three wise men. No.
The Bible doesn't say that there were three. You see, people get confused because there was three gifts that were given to Jesus. So that's where they get the three part. But when there was traveling across the desert, normally for protection, there was a lot of them. Maybe even an entourage of them. Traveling across the desert. So, no, I don't believe there was three.
Okay, well, these wise men, no matter how many there were, they are traveling from... They did see a star.
They were following a star.
Got that right. And they were traveling from the east.
Yes.
So here come these how many wise men, whatever they are, whatever. They were coming and traveling on donkeys or camels. I bet you're going to tell... They were camels, but I bet you're going to tell me they were donkeys, didn't you?
No, they were not traveling on donkeys.
Got it right.
But they weren't traveling on camels either. Remember, these... They were elite, extremely wealthy people. They... People of this caliber, they wouldn't get caught dead on a stinking, obstinate camel.
That kind of makes sense to me.
Hey, I'm sure that they were traveling on either Arabian horses or the latest model chariot, but okay. Not camel.
Okay. These wise men, however many, they were traveling, however they were traveling, they finally get to the manger, the cave, where the shepherds are, and they're there with the shepherds and they.
No. You got it wrong. Again, that again is tradition. You see, by the time that they got there to see Jesus, the Bible says that they came to the house where Jesus was. In fact, it says to the house where the young child was. By this time, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, they were back home in Nazareth. And Jesus was around 1.5 years old. So no, they did not go to the manger.
The cave.
Or the cave.
Well, you know.
You're learning.
You know, maybe I've just been following tradition. And what's in our Christmas carols? Rather than following what the Bible says. or what history has. But you know what? I'm still excited about Christmas. I just love this time of the year. And it's just special time to me. And to think that my Savior was born on December the 25th. And No. You are not going to tell me he's not born on December 25th. No, come on. So what's the point?
The point is this. That when we scrap all of these man-made traditions, we are left with the eternal truths of the Word of God. I mean, 500 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Micah prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem. And whether they married, traveled by donkey or by wagon, the point is that God led them to Bethlehem where the Messiah was to be born. Whether it was a cave or a barn, the point is God provided shelter for them. Whether there were three kings or an entourage of wise men, the point is that God led the elite of the day to give these gifts and to honor the King of Kings that they were told about. They saw the star in the heavens and followed them to the very house where the Messiah was. You see, 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah, he said, "Behold, a virgin will conceive and bring forth a son and call his name Emmanuel, God with us." And then when the angel appeared to Mary, he said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus," which means Savior. So that's the point. A Savior was born, given to us. Now I'd like to ask you a question.
What?
Do you know this Savior, Jesus Christ?
Well, it's like this. It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not even that mouse. The Bible's laid on the shelf, unread, along with DVDs and other such like things instead. The children were snuggling, ready to go to bed, but nobody saying goodnight prayers or bowing their head. Mama on her rocker with the baby in her lap was watching the late show as I took a nap. When out from the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. And what do my wondering eyes should appear but Jesus, an angel saying, "Jesus is here." The light was like the sun that sent forth a bright ray, and I knew in a moment that this was that day. The light from his face made me cover my head. Jesus was returning, just like he had said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. The book of life that he held in his hand contained the names of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. And when he said, "It's not here," my head hung in shame. Those whose names were written in love, he gathered together to take to his Father above. Those who were ready, he rose without a sound, while the rest of us were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and sealed my fate. Then I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I would have been ready tonight. And then there was a bang, and a light hit my face like a beam. And I woke in my bed, and I realized this was all just a bad dream. I knew in a moment that none of this had taken place, but I knew in my heart that I needed God's grace. So I slid from my bed and my knees hit the floor, and I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior and Lord. And to answer your question, yes, this is a day I will always remember, when I gave my life to Jesus that Christmas in December.
Room for Jesus. The words, "There were no room for them in the inn," reminds me of a story to me by my family who took a trip many years ago. They had been traveling all day, and the father was trying to find a motel where they could spend the night. As they drove along the highway, their hopes were dashed time and again by the sight of no vacancy signs. As a father responsible for the well-being of his family, he was frustrated and discouraged. Then he thought of Mary and Joseph. How much worse it must have been for them when they arrived in Bethlehem and found no rooms available. The father could imagine Joseph pleading with the manager of the inn, telling him of Mary's condition and their despite need for a place where she could give birth to her child. But there was no room for them in the inn. So when Jesus was born, his mother wrapped him in swaddled clothes and laid him in the manger. Today, 2,000 years later, millions of people have no room for Jesus, although they participate with excitement in their festivities of Christmas season and keep them out of their lives. The no vacancy sign is there. Have you any room for Jesus? He who looked took your load of sin as he knocks upon your heart's door. Will you not let him in?
Divine. For this slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of praise.
Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." Now, when Herod heard this, he was very troubled. So he gathered together the chief priests and scribes of the people and demanded of them to know where the Christ was to be born. And they said, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written in the scriptures, 'O thou Bethlehem in the land of Judea, are not thou the least among the princesses of Judea? Yet out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the wise men and diligently inquired of them as to what time they saw the star. And then he said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, send me word that I too may go and worship him.' And when they had finished speaking, they departed. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east appeared unto them, and they followed it until it came and stood over the place where the young child was. When the wise men saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with his mother Mary, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And then they presented him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned of God in a dream that they should not return unto Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, lo, an angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into the land of Egypt, for Herod seeks the young child's life.' So Joseph took the young child and his mother by night and came into the land of Egypt. And he remained there until the death of Herod. And thus were the scriptures fulfilled that were spoken of by the prophet that says, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.' Now, when Herod realized he was mocked to the wise men, he became exceeding angry, and he sent forth and he killed all the children in Bethlehem and in the coast around 2 years and under, according to the time that he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And thus were the scriptures fulfilled that were spoken of by the prophet Jeremiah. In Ramah, there is a voice heard, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they were no more. Then Herod died. And though an angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and go back into the land of Israel, for they are dead that sought the young child's life." So Joseph took the young child and his mother and he came into the land of Israel. But when he learned that Archelaus ruled in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Notwithstanding, God warned him in a dream. And he turned aside into the parts of Galilee and came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, and thus saw the scriptures fulfilled that said, he shall be called a Nazarene. Matthew chapter 2.
Okay, another congregational song, a hymn. Shall we stand together and sing, O Come, All Ye Faithful?
O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, Christ.
Good singing. You may be seated. Oh, my. What did I do? If you look for Jesus at Christmas, you won't need to look so far. He's no longer in Bethlehem. He's right here where you are. You may not be aware of him amid the celebrations. You'll have to look beyond the stores and all of the decorations. But if you take a moment from the list of things to do and listen to your heart, you'll find that he's waiting right here for you. You're the one he wants to be with. You are the reason that he came. You'll find him in the stillness as he's whispering your name. I believe that this is the heart of Jesus for each and every one of us. And we trust that you've enjoyed the program. But more than that, we trust that you've realized in a greater way than ever before the reason that Jesus Christ came. And that reason is for you and for me, each and every one of us. He wants to be with us in a very, very special way. And that was actually the thrust of this morning's message. For sure, as we have sung together, we have something to be joyful about. Jesus not only came to Bethlehem, but he's right here in home fellowship, right here where we are. Wherever you are, the Lord is there. And he's not only there, but we know also, as we've seen so clearly, that there is no comparison between Santa and Jesus. None. So we can go through life with Jesus on our mind, and our hearts are full of praise, rejoicing, because we realize who Jesus is and who he wants to be to each and every one of us. So we celebrate Jesus' birth. We receive him as our Lord and our personal Savior. And kneeling at the cross, we worship him. You see, Jesus is calling each and every one of us by his Spirit. And he's saying, come unto me. I'm here for you. Many are looking for peace. They're looking for satisfaction. A lot of people don't even know what they're looking for. All they realize is that it's not there. But if we reach out to Jesus, Jesus is saying, come. I want you to come to me. I'm here for you. Please open the door. I'm knocking at your heart's door. Open it up. I want to come into you. I want to fill that longing that's in your heart that you really can't even put your finger on, because you don't know what it is, but I am your answer. So I want to give you life with purpose. Ask me to come. I want to be the center of your life. I want to forgive you of your sins. And it's so important that we make room in our lives for Jesus and throw away that no vacancy sign. See, when we strip away the man-made traditions, and we are left with these eternal truths in the Word of God. See, this morning, the Word of God, we heard the miracle of Christmas. The prophecy that said 700 years before Jesus was born, that he would be born of a virgin. And that he was to be called God with us, Emmanuel. 500 years before, as the Word of God said, he would be born in Bethlehem. And then as we heard, it was miracle after miracle, as we heard from Matthew chapter 2. So what's the point? What is the point? Well, Mary and Joseph, they were instructed to name this baby Jesus, Savior. And the point is that is why Jesus was born, that you and I could be saved, that we could be walking in the kingdom of the Lord, that we would have our sins forgiven, the old man dead, and the new man risen, because we've been changed from the inside out by the power of God. And serving God on a daily basis in our homes, as a Christ-centered home, doing our jobs with integrity, and radiating the fact that, hey, I love the Lord, and I'm not ashamed of it. That's what we need. And that's what the Lord's looking in each and every one of our lives, for us to make this Christmas time a deeper commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives. You see, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, what we call Christmas was actually the first event. And then what we call Easter, where Jesus died for our sins, shed his blood, and rose again, that's a second event. But we're living in the day when that third event can happen at any time. He says, I'm coming again. And I want to receive you unto myself. But it depends on us. Like in that dream. Are you ready? Have you prepared yourself? Because heaven is prepared for those who go through the preparation for heaven. Have you given your life to Christ? Are you ready? That is the question. This is what Christmas is about. He says, I'm here for you. I'm here. What you need to do is reach out your heart. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I want to serve you. I want to be ready. I want to live for you now, and I want to live with you through eternity. We need to be ready. And if you're not ready, or if you're not sure that you're ready, please don't leave here today without coming and saying, will you pray for me? Will you show me how to be ready? I want it also to be a day to remember when I've given my life to Jesus on that 25th of December. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the true message of Christmas. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us today. Each and every one that's participated in this. But Lord, thank you also that your word has gone forth with the true message of what this day represents. Thank you, Lord, for taking on flesh and dwelling amongst us. Thank you, Lord, for all the miracles of Christmas. Thank you, Lord, and then for giving your life, but not ending there. You rose again from the dead, and you are our living Savior. And Lord, we celebrate you. And we celebrate the fact that we not only have life now in Christ, walking in the kingdom of the Lord, but thank you, Lord, that we have the assurance of life eternal. Lord, does anyone here this morning who does not know what we're talking about in a very practical way? Thank you, Lord, for calling by your Spirit, dealing with hearts. They may find the living Savior, Jesus, here this morning. So, Lord, thank you for the message clear that you desire to be with us in a very, very special way today and through eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have one more song. One more song, and before we leave, now, when this is printed, when it comes up, Christ, all right, you see is emphasized, underlined, capital letters, so you sing, we wish you a Merry Christmas, right, okay. Let's stand together and sing. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a God bless New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a God bless New Year. All right. God bless you, all those that braved the Florida cold and came out this morning, and those watching online, and even my trust that our daughter over in Zimbabwe. God bless you, my Zimbabwe family. And hey, for sure. Thank you, each and every one of you that participated in this program today. And we had a good time, didn't we? Yeah. God bless you. Go home. Have a God bless Christmas.